Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Dog food out of the cup? That thing is so sacred that no one can lay a finger on it if we haven't won it. But the moment we win it, we're just going to throw it in the ocean and we're going to eat out of it and we're going to do whatever.
Listen, there's an obvious full circle moment here. When you were a kid and you were going to get sick, like you might throw up, did your family use the same bowl as the family movie popcorn bowl? Should it be your popcorn bowl?
Oh, wow.
You have it for the day. My son got sick. Sorry. It's a popcorn bowl now.
If the Sabres ever win the Stanley Cup, they bring it in here and you've got to eat popcorn out of it. And then after the popcorn's gone, someone has to throw up in it.
You could even flip the order there, and as long as, again, it gets washed, it's fine.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Hey, huge news before we get to anything. I saw Brian Mazurowski from WBEN with a breaking news report of sorts.
Does this have to do with what I think it has to do with?
You tell me. What do you think it has to do with?
I think it does have to do with the mural in front of the arena.
Alumni Plaza is getting changed.
Yeah. Let's go.
Tyler Myers will no longer be on the walkway.
Yeah, I saw the tweet about this yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
From the guy he's quote tweeting, yeah.
Jumbotron, roof, and a 15-year-old mural coming down.
Did you know about the mural part?
No.
We knew about, I mean, they cannot tell us enough about the new scoreboard and the roof. It's like, I'm ready for the new scoreboard. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a peep about the mural or Alumni Plaza. Are we getting brick updates? I saw someone point out recently, do you know how the bricks underneath the mural are like every player that's ever played for the Sabres?
No.
I think that's how it works.
It's people that donated to Alumni Plaza, I thought.
I think there's also
a lot of donations and like in memory of if you wanted a commemorative brick for someone that was a family member that loved the Sabres.
I think they also have that. I thought they had both. So correct me, because I had seen recently that Remy Elie was the last brick they put in.
Oh.
Which was, when did he play for the Sabres? A fourth liner from like 6 years ago.
Okay.
Either way, Tyler Myers has been the most recent player on that mural for how many years?
Well, it was Pominville. Did he come back?
Okay, Pominville was on there, yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Yep. 13 years? 12 years? Was it like the year they made the playoffs that they didn't?
I think it was 07.
There were two panes of glass here, by the way. They could have put another player on there next to Myers. They just never decided to, I guess.
It's crazy.
I don't know who would they have put up there. They're not also updating it with any more recent players, right?
I don't know. I mean, we've not heard of this project. But they are taking, it appears, they are taking down the giant mural.
I saw someone,
Finneganoff and Drury and Miller and Michael Pekka and Hasek. But yeah, no one.
LaFontaine's up there at the edge, least in the photo.
Ready? Let's play a game. Least likely to be placed on the new mural.
Well, we should do second least, because then we all know what the first answer is probably to this answer.
Who's that?
They're not putting Eichel on the mural.
Reinhardt, right? Eichel, O'Reilly, Kane. It'll be, you know what they
maybe they could put a Poso up there.
They could.
I wouldn't, but I don't know. Whatever. They also, I saw someone point this out yesterday. I forgot about this, but I think this is right. Did they not used to put the team picture up on that thing?
Yes, there was a big, long team picture, black and white. I think that's like the 05-06 or 06-07 Sabres. It's a cool picture. They're all hanging out on the bench and like on the ice. It's mid/post-practice. And it was a good picture. To sell that picture, I feel like I used to have it. But they've got to be doing something, because you wouldn't take it down. What's up there now is not bad. It's alumni. So new, some new version of that is going to go in, you would think.
Yes.
Exciting.
Or the team photo of this year, or they'll put, what, like just the logos or something? Will they hire an artist to do, like, there's murals going up on the side of buildings everywhere.
I gotta redo that. We should reach out. Let's do some investigative reporting and try to find out what the plan is for that.
Or could this be another new Josh Allen Gatorade ad that they're putting up in front of the arena?
When in doubt, throw Josh Allen's face on it.
Yeah. Yes.
Put Josh on it.
How do we make people feel good coming into the arena? Put the quarterback up there.
Yeah,
do that. That'll work.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe with you. It is Tuesday. We'll talk a little Jags today. Bills and Jags is, Monday Night Football. So this is going to feel like the offseason all over again between a Thursday and a Monday game.
Yep.
We got forever to get to this game, but we'll get there. And we'll talk to Gene Fournette, Florida Times Union, coming up at 8:30 today to see what the story is on the Jaguars, other than Trevor Lawrence saying offensively right now, like, we suck, which is something he said. They're moving the ball, but they're not getting into the end zone. And they lost a pair of games that maybe they feel like they should have won in losing to the Dolphins and the Browns. I feel like it's a dangerous team a little bit, and I would have total belief they can still beat the Bills, but we'll see. So that's coming up, 8:30, Gene Fournette on the Jaguars. Last night's game. Let me give you the report on last night's game.
Okay. Because I fell asleep during the third quarter.
I was ready to go to sleep, and, you know, I was in bed, and I kept checking the score, I've got a couple fantasy matchups. And I just, all right, let's see if anything's happening here. Anything I need to know about. And that game, which the Eagles should have won easily, it kept not ending. Man, still not over. Okay, now the Eagles have it. First and 10 at the Atlanta 27, 2 minutes to go. I'm doing the timeout math in my head. What do they got to do here? They got to get one first down, maybe a second first down. Joe, it was so far down the road. And I'm going to give you one play to illustrate it. The Eagles had a second and one at the two-minute warning.
Okay?
Atlanta has all three timeouts. So start to do the math here. Let's have some fun with whatever. I'm trying to think of there used to be a show, You Make the Call, about Major League Baseball, where they'd give you a scenario, like, all right, what would I have done here? What's the official supposed to do?
Before you go, the game log says it was third and one, by the way. It was second and 10, Barkley for nine.
Before that,
because that was at the two-minute warning.
Okay, before that.
Though. Okay, before that?
I think it's before that.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see it. I think it was a third and one.
Third and one.
Yeah.
I guess it's a third and one. The point is, the Falcons jumped offside on purpose.
Yeah, I'm seeing that, too.
The Falcons, there's so little time left in this game. The Eagles are so close to locking this up that the Falcons make a smart move. Jump offside on purpose, new set of downs, time doesn't tick.
Yeah.
The Eagles decline that knowing...
That's smart.
Right, of course.
Yes.
Both teams doing the smart thing.
Wow.
The Falcons, an intentional offside, and I'm watching the Manning cast, which they point out, how many times can you jump offside? And the answer is, I think on the second one, the clock might tick, or there's... I forget what it is. Maybe you lose a timeout for
there's
a delay game.
There's an extra punishment.
There's something.
Okay.
But they try to jump offside. They do. They get flagged. And there's Sirianni. No. Decline. So proud of themselves for declining the intentional offside. They then go ahead and get the tush push and get the first down. And if you're thinking about Atlanta winning this game, aren't you just, all right, well, come on. What could possibly happen that Atlanta could get back in this game?
So they still have three timeouts, though?
Three timeouts, okay. And that's it. Because the two-minute warning is already hit.
So now it's first down.
First timeout.
Okay.
Second down. Third down. They pass the ball to Barkley, who doesn't make a catch that he probably could have made, and the clock stops. And just like the Bills and the Cardinals, fourth and three, late, up 3 points, it was a fourth and three. And what did Philadelphia do? The same thing the Bills did. They kicked.
Yeah.
Instead of one first down to win the game, 3 yards to win the game, they kicked. And they kicked the very famous... Not quite everybody knows this term, but more and more are learning it. They kicked the field goal of death. We were up three. Now we're up six, and the Falcons get the ball back. Oh, no.
And a touchdown wins it.
A touchdown takes the lead, at least.
Or takes the lead.
Because the Eagles got the ball back and got a chance to get a game-winning field goal, and Hurts threw a pick.
Yeah.
But here's the very, very famous field goal of death. Is it better to be up six or three? It's better to be up three. The Falcons would not have pushed for the end zone. They would have settled for a 42-yard field goal to tie it and force overtime. They had no timeouts. They would have been much more conservative. Instead, they go all the way down the field and throw a touchdown pass to Drake London with 34 seconds left and take the lead. and Philadelphia is stunned. It is not lost on me. It is a 4th-and-3 kick because the Falcons are 0-1. They don't look very impressive offensively. They hit a big play to Darnell Mooney in this game. When the Bills kicked that away to the Cardinals, there was a lot of, well, come on. Kyler Murray, they didn't look very sharp. They weren't going to do that much. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals had scored more points than the Falcons had scored to that point in the game. And here's the Bills, trust the defense, boom, give it to the Cardinals. They make the stop. The Eagles did not make the stop. They gave up the touchdown. And here are the Eagles, Joe. Does any organization get more credit for being smart and cagey and analytics-driven than them? And their head coach kicks the field goal of death at home on Monday Night Football against a team that was basically so far gone, they had an intentional offside.
Right. They, by the way, it's surprising, too, because they went for a fourth down. Was it on the first drive that they went for it? They went on 4th-and-4 from the Atlanta 9 in the first quarter. And I have not checked Twitter on this, but there were a bunch of, who was it, Albert Breer, Michael Lombardi, right? Like, you got some people out there in football media, football Twitter, that are, hey, there's nothing wrong with just taking the points there.
Right. I saw Michael Lombardi say, what's wrong with 3 points?
Right. Which he could have said, you know, when the Bills scored a touchdown on Thursday night with James Cook on a 4th-and-4, whatever it was, 4th-and-3. I haven't looked. Are those people doing the exact same thing with the 4th-and-3 at the end? Like, oh, see, if you'd kicked the field goal in the first quarter, then that field goal actually wouldn't have been the field goal of death. It would have been the field goal for the win. If you just go for it all the time, though, you know, your odds are you're going to get one of those two, and you're going to win the football game. And by the way, this is part of the math equation on it, but it doesn't often come up. The Falcons need a touchdown to take the lead with a 1:39 to go. You're also, by kicking the field goal, you are gifting them a 20-yard play.
20 yards because of the new touchback.
Yeah. They get the ball to 30 on the kickoff.
Instead of the 10.
And that's got some value, too, is that they have to go the length of the field almost to get that on you.
Just to get a tie.
If you don't get it. So the numbers on that from ESPN last night analytics were 95% win probability for the Eagles.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They gone for it and went down to 90.2. By kicking the field goal.
So 5%.
They lost 5%.
Now, one thing, and here's Sirianni.
In one decision.
Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles, he blamed Hurts. Low-key blamed Hurts.
Did he?
Hurts on third down when he threw that ball to Barkley, who dropped it. Sirianni said in postgame, there's a mechanism in the play that if it doesn't look good, then Hurts is supposed to just sit down and take the sack and keep the clock ticking, and then they would have kicked. Then they would have kicked like on a 4th-and-8 with 30 fewer seconds left for the Falcons. But in that scenario, you were still kicking the field goal of death.
Right.
This is such a good illustration of this field goal of death, the phrase that's been popularized about this idea. If you're watching this game as a Falcons fan, The only thing you want, just give us the ball back. I know my offense might not look good. I know that Kirk is airmailing balls into the end zone, which there's a pilot of that. He had open guys and just missed them all. Just give me the ball back with a chance. And the Eagles, here they are. Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here you go, Kirk. 2 minutes
to go. We dare you. We dare you to score. And then he by the way, he did in with 34 seconds remaining on the clock. So how much do we buy that Hurts not sitting down to take the sack actually even affected it? Maybe it would have been a little tougher. Maybe they would have scored the buzzer instead of they would have scored at 34 seconds left.
Maybe.
They got down the field in a minute. Took them a minute five.
Yep.
To go from the 30 to the end zone. So, I don't know.
It was a Buffalo Bills drought loss for the Eagles. That game, if I took the play-by-play game script of the final 2 minutes, that game would slide seamlessly in with the most famous drought moments of all time, with the McKelvin fumble in New England, which was the anniversary of that was this weekend. Slide in there with Dallas. Slide in there with the Browns game they lost on Monday Night Football when they missed a kick. All of your worst, how could you do that? How could you possibly find a way to lose a game when your win probability was 95%? Actually, it was higher than that. Because before that play, Joe, the Eagle, according to ESPN's model, the Eagles' win probability got to 99.3.
Wow.
With the ball.
With the ball? Yeah.
99.3. Pass incomplete, kick the field goal of death, loss. You love to see it. I love to see these Eagles lose. I love it.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of their whole thing.
Well,
right?
to borrow something from you, they are for 3 years now, and thank goodness. All right, don't totally quote me on this one, but thank goodness they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, because they would have been a bad team to win it. It would have been one of the luckiest teams ever to win it. That Super Bowl run, of course, included beating Daniel Jones in the playoffs, then beating the 49ers, who didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like, oh, the guy was bad. Two injuries to their starting quarterbacks, Brock Purdy needing Tommy John surgery, handed the ball off a bunch of times.
Right.
That was their NFC Championship game. And then they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And what happened last year? They collapsed. As complete phonies.
Yeah.
The Eagles for 2.5 years have been kind of fake good. They have exploited the tush push, of course. That helps them be good.
Yeah.
You know, they only need 9 yards for a first down. But man, last night is an all-timer. I hope that coming across our feeds today, we'll try to find some. We get some Philadelphia rants. We promised you know, now with the Bills kind of good, we don't get all these, we don't get to flex our rant muscles, and somewhere out there, we've got to be finding a real good look at rants. And Philadelphia is a prime candidate to have a rant from last night.
Philadelphia overreacting to something that can't be possible. the coach too. I can't imagine. Like, I'm sure it'd be interesting to hear like a rant on it. Like, who are they ranting against? Because Sirianni makes the call on the field goal of death, and Sirianni at the end, right? Like, first coach fired odds. Shouldn't he be near the top? Because he already had the power to hire his own coordinators, I think, kind of stripped away by forcing him to hire Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. He doesn't call plays for them. There's rumors or there's reports even out there that he and the quarterback do not get along. So, what is... And now if he's kicking a field goal to go up six with a minute left, like, what is that guy really doing for me?
Yeah.
He's not calling plays. He's not... him and the quarterback don't get along. He didn't even pick his own coordinators. He's doing this now. Like, game management is, like, all he's really doing. Or he's, like, the CEO-type guy on the sidelines. But I don't know. I think maybe that starts with the coach there. I don't think the quarterback is amazing. I think he's pretty good. Like, I like their weapons. I like that they invest in receiver. They have two highly paid receivers. That might be the team, by the way, where you look around the league and like, hey, who's got some of the best receiver duos in football? Isn't their whole thing in the last few years kind of propped up with they got two guys that get open on like every play?
Yeah.
Like, their quarterback's pretty good, and they have one of the best receiver duos in football. And that really, that really drags them. Those two drag them along, I think, a lot more than most receiver duos. Maybe Miami's on that level too. The Eagles. I don't have like a disdain for the Eagles.
Oh, I
though.
Do. I got it. I got it.
Not like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's
nice and strong. I've got it for the Eagles. It's nice to see them lose. It does go back to that NFC Championship game where they got a free pass into the Super Bowl, and then the following year, was it Zach Gelb got after Debo about, are you going to send a message to the Eagles fans? And he didn't want to answer that question, so we hung up on him. And then they went into Philly and hammered them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's because of my little flirtation with the Niners that I hate the Eagles, but I've got a little bit of a flirtation with the Niners. Like my NFC spouse in the league.
Well, because, you go back over 5 years and wouldn't you typically hear those two teams mentioned in the same sentence? Like, who have been the dominant teams of the NFC?
Yeah. And the Niners are just coached so much better. So much better.
Yeah.
And then again, the Eagles have lost a bunch of coordinators. I mean, Shane Steichen's in Indianapolis.
I think that loss might be the one that really, really crushed them. Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. There's your recap on last night.
Real quick, Kirk Cousins, though, like better numbers, but I don't know.
He can't move.
He's still...
To me, he looks like Rodgers, which is he'll have his passes, and he'll be better than a guy like Bryce Young or Zach Wilson or Joe Flacco when he was with the Jets or Mike White.
He won't be careless like Levis out there?
Sure, but... There's a ceiling. There's a ceiling on what Cousins can do. I went into the season thinking the Falcons would be very good. Maybe they'll find a little bit more of their offensive flow. But if your quarterback can't move really at all, and Troy Aikman made a comment before the broadcast saying that Kirk Cousins told him he doesn't feel 100%. He's not 100%, but he feels 100% in the pocket. That's what Cousins said. I'm not 100%, but I feel 100% in the pocket.
I don't know if I buy that. He misses throws that look pretty easy.
Even if you do buy it, it's not going to work. Oh, I feel great in the pocket. Oh, all right. Well, so, guess what?
It's 2024, dude. Like you can't really get away with that the way you once did.
You're going to need to do some stuff outside the pocket. And for teams that can't at all, I mean, that's Rodgers right now.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll move it a little better as the season goes on, but... It's tough to take an offense that is limited like that seriously. Maybe that's just, the Josh Allen viewer speaking. But what's one of the reasons we don't think about Tua when he's healthy as a guy at the top level? It's because out of the pocket and out of structure, you just don't get as much as you do from some of the better ones.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Could be why passing's down, too, in a way. You've got a lot of rookies playing right now, and you've got old guys that used to be putting up massive numbers that now look like, oh, they're going to be more like game managers.
I do think a lot of the points, listen, defenses are better at limiting big plays, and there's a lot of numbers about where the league is right now, but I do think a lot of it is driven by quarterback play that is just not that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to compare 2024 to 2020, let me get four quarterbacks in the 2020 league that are not here now. Am I looking at like peak Rodgers, peak Brady? Was Breeze still playing in 2020?
Maybe.
And now I've got...
Cousins would have been putting up 4,000 plus easily.
And now I've got quarterbacks the caliber of Bryce Young, Malik Willis is playing.
Bo Nix
was terrible. You just have a lot of
Jones.
Daniel Jones. Caleb Williams has had a rough start of it.
Yeah.
So,
right, how many teams have a quarterback in right now where like they're figuring it out?
Will Levis.
Levis is that. Fields is that a little bit, right? Jones is that.
Is it 10
Watson
teams?
Watson is that in Cleveland. Is it 10 teams? It might, yeah. It might be. Richardson is kind of a rookie, right? Like he had a bad week too. That was his fifth road game, college plus pro. That's incredible. Yeah. Not really that experience, so it didn't look good, but okay, that's maybe why. I mean,
I think it's a point in there that running for quarterbacks is happening more, and the passing game for these quarterbacks, you've got guys more than ever maybe learning on the job.
And also Justin Herbert hasn't had to throw the football yet.
That's true, yeah.
So him having 130 yards per game is probably, that's probably going to go up. I would imagine.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, good Tuesday morning. It is Tuesday. Yes, it might be tough to figure out what day of the week it is because the Bills played on Thursday of last week. It's already forever ago. They should play again. This Thursday, we've got Patriots-Jets, which...
Okay. AFC East.
Is the Jets season about to end? They lose, they lose to New England, which...
Right there. Oh, that'd be funny.
Maybe they could lose to New England. That'd be fun.
New England went to overtime and won week one, so... Not they've got 3 points in the NHL so far through two games. The Patriots do.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can join us if you want. We'll chat plenty about the Bills, of course, coming up, but wanted to get that that recap for you. Your emotion of the peak, how on earth could the coach have lost that game for this team? That's what happened last night in Philadelphia. It was wonderful. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.